Blog Talk Radio.
Well, right now we gotta spin our way into social media so we make impact and change. Have you checked out the GPT-3? Okay, write this down: GPT-3, OpenAI. And then, if you have any questions, call me and I'll send you some Google videos to watch. You need to get in front of this, Josh. GPT-3, it is artificial intelligence, and you need to get in front of it because it's going to affect us, everything we do. And OpenAI and DALL-E, D-A-L-L-E, 2. Hey, Larry.
Trace.
Hey, I'm going live in a minute.
See that first link?
I don't know.
In the same setup, but nobody was there.
I have no idea.
It's bad down here, Trace.
Yeah, I heard. I'm going to talk to you about that. Give me 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting ready to send out an email to Jeff, too, and to Kyle. Hey, good afternoon. I am Tracy Winbush, and you are listening to Talk Connection with Tracy Winbush and Tracy and Friends. And I have with me Larry Long. Armstrong and Lloyd Burke, who we call Sticks. And Jeff is trying to get in as soon as I can text him, talk at the same time, and get online at the same time. You know, technology is smart, and it's smarter than us. That's why they call it smartphone. But it does mess up when there's dum-dums, and I'm not quite sure who's the dum-dum today, but I didn't do it. Hi, guys. How's everybody doing today?
Wonderful. And you,
Trace? I'm doing good. Listen, we want people to call in. They can call us now. The number is 515-602-9695. Write that number down. That number is for real. And I want to talk today a little bit about what's happening, because I see a new world order that we are morphing into every day. We don't know who's in charge, and that's what we thought is not what we think, because things are weird. So you got five black guys that beat up one black guy, and you can't say race. And so there's and the dynamics are changing because they're trying to put spin, and nobody's really thinking about anything, and they're still trying to divide us. And you've got Israel talking, and America talking about a two-state Israel. Do we understand all this? Is not good. And so what are you guys looking at? What do you see? Jump in. Hopscotch.
I'm seeing just chaos everywhere. I mean, from the incident in Memphis, you know, all the way through, you've got, at least this time it appears that the protests were relatively peaceful. I didn't see any footage of any buildings burning.
But that wasn't the protest had nothing to do with the commentary that was coming off the news and what they were trying to say. I mean, people had the right, when you look at that footage, you have the right to be incensed and outraged about the whole process, no matter whose son, no matter what color, because law enforcement should have never taken on that color, right or wrong.
Oh, absolutely. They were completely out of control.
But it also said,
anybody who looked at that footage, it doesn't think they were.
Yeah, I have yet to hear any law enforcement officer defend those five guys. Not a single one.
No, I haven't seen anyone defend any of those guys.
Yeah, but to your point though, how is that racial? Because that's what they tagged on. It's the same thing that happened in Wisconsin, right? You had a white kid go up there and was protecting some property, right? And I think the two people that were shot, that he shot after they attacked him, were white too. So you had a white guy shoot two white guys, and that was made into a racial aspect. Because if you look at the whole dynamics, it's always the divide. You got to find a divide, and it's either that or it's the evil rich guys. Racism or, you know, the attack on capitalism being that the rich are at fault for all your problems.
Larry, when you look at what you just said, look at the narrative of that, what's going on here. And I look at this film, and if you slow it down, if you think of here what's happened, if you look at the how it's expanding out to the new officers being charged, the one who tried to get – I mean, he tried to tase him, and they put him into the loop because he was white. So you should be fired because you shouldn't have – you know, there's a lot going on here. And then you have, you know, the man – you got a grown man calling for his mama. And I got a problem with that because I do. Don't get me wrong. I love my mama, and I'm gonna call for my mama, but I'm a woman. But the men that I knew and I grew up with that raised me, I don't see them getting their beat butt in the middle of a war and calling for mama. And that says something to the psyche of the men that in today's society also. And that's just my opinion. And, you know, the rules of are mine and no one else's. But I got a problem with that. Am I wrong?
No, I agree with you 100%. The other thing that kind of struck me is that was announced that it was coming out that Friday at 7. They were going to upload it to YouTube. That event happened like a week and a half before, right? But also, strangely, that same day, I believe it was, Friday morning, there was the video that we got for the Pelosi thing that happened several months ago. So I just find it, I don't know.
You understand. Look
ironic,
at
ironic. Yeah.
And so when I ask people who's controlling the world order, would you say, Lloyd?
It's like they're purposely feeding this stuff to us, so it may tie right into what you're talking about on the New World Order as far as there was a comedian, and he's since passed now. They call him Ralphie May. Big, big, heavyset white guy. He had a monologue. I'll share it with you guys after the show so you have it. But it was eye-opening because some of the stuff that he's talking about is what we're talking about right now, where you divide people by race, color, and that way you got all of us worried about each other and they can do their own thing.
And at the same time...
That's how Marxist always work. That's how Marxism works. You have to divide the people so the people can't... You have to destroy the family, destroy religion, and divide the people.
Right.
And once you do that, then you can control the people.
And so now, here we go.
No longer united.
Now, here we go. We have the New World Order and the United States of America who's no longer united.
The New World Order is a ongoing system that will take anything like this and skew it their way so that they can still keep control. This has nothing to do with any of that.
But I have a question for you, Jeff. Who's crafting it?
Yeah.
Who's crafting it? Because see, you're right, but you're right. It has one thing doesn't have to do with the other, and they let no crisis go to waste.
And who said that?
That was a former president, I believe.
It was Rahm Emanuel.
Rahm Emanuel.
Oh.
Yes, Rahm Emanuel. Let no.
That's when he was advisor, the chief of staff to
President Obama.
Wasn't he with Clinton as well?
Yeah, he was a Clintonite.
Yeah. So here's the thing. These guys.
Hey, just turn your mic up a little bit.
Do what?
Your mic. We can't hear you.
Okay, I'm going to have
That's
to
good.
Get my
That's good. Say what you say. Stay right there.
Yeah. So the bottom line is that these people continually have to push their narrative so that they can win, and that's what they're doing. They push this foolishness, and that's what I call it, foolishness. When this could very well have been about a domestic dispute. Yeah, you didn't hear that one.
I knew something was behind it because I got a question too.
Yeah, there was something behind it because they didn't show you what that boy was doing beforehand. They didn't show him jump out the car and run and fight. He never did fight the police. And then when that guy came up and kicked him, you know, for whatever reason, it was ridiculous. So they deserved, all of those guys are going to deserve what they get.
So to your point, Jeff, and I agree, I'm glad you said, because I've been saying since I saw it, that there had to be more, because cops don't run on a traffic stop like that fast. I've got a lot of friends who are cops. They're not that excited about running.
One of the guys allegedly... his girlfriend worked at Amazon. This young man worked at Amazon. And it's supposedly, allegedly, I say to protect all involved, that maybe that guy, the guy that got beat, had a relationship with the one cop's fiance or girlfriend, whatever she was. And so that right there could have started things out, if that is correct. I don't know that it is.
I'm not a law enforcement officer, but it would seem to me that five trained police officers wouldn't have that much trouble getting a young man of that stature and build on the ground and get a set of handcuffs on him a lot easier than what they did.
Well, to that point, though, Stick, I watched it because it was four videos that were uploaded to Memphis PD's website. And it the first video kind of blew the narrative that you were hearing leading up to them uploading it up there, right? You'd have thought this was a one traffic stop and that's where that guy got beat, and that's not what happened, right? It, you know, he was stopped at the light, got loose with the, like Tracy said, with the one cop who had a white hand that had the taser, right, and ran off. And then the other cops came and they were telling him what, describing it, and they went and looked for him. But what I found is, and I've seen it, so I don't know if you've ever been tased, but I have. My brother, it was for a training thing that, you know, for the cops. They didn't even put that thing in me, Tracy. They put it on my collar. You go down. I was pressed. I was like, oh, I'm going to. I'm thinking that video too. It's a hilarious video. But what it gets to is when you see these people get tased and they pull them out and take off running, that's not right. That's not how this works. You get tased, you go down.
But
you've seen them.
But
they,
you know,
go
what,
down,
Larry,
they,
if,
they
even if you don't
right.
go down, this, if you look at the sequence of events, you get this first set of cops and the young white man who tries to tase the man, that he said, I ain't running. He's nowhere at the second scene. He shot off a bad tape. He needs to be reprimanded because I understand the whole protocol. They say from the beginning all the way to the end was nothing that had nothing to do with police protocol. That's what every cop I've heard said. They didn't do anything right. None of them.
Yeah. But it sounded personal.
But the first, and see, I said the same thing. You know, five guys, you covering up your cameras, you're not turning them on. That takes, come on. That's too much. That's a lot of orchestration for a traffic stop because you were going into oncoming traffic. And to see that young man and to see that one cop take that billy club and cock it like a baseball bat, that's personal. You had to take time to think about that. In my opinion,
that is so. That is so. But I saw that other story on our old friend the professor's site.
I didn't see that one.
I caught that this morning, and so I really like to see this. I want that revealed because it destroys the other narrative that we need to just deal with. And you're looking at still the arrogance of authority. This is the arrogance of authority. Authority that says that you better listen to me, boy. You better listen to me, girl, whoever you are, because I am the man. I got the gun, I got the taser, and the billy club, and no matter what, you better bow down. And where did we see that spirit, that same spirit? We saw it last year and the year before in when we started getting the shutdown notices, and you better take this vaccine or else we're going to end your life financially and maybe physically if we can. And it's the spirit of what's going around in this nation.
So
go ahead.
Did you hear the comment that I made earlier about, I heard the man, he called for his mama. And to me, you know, I think it's very, very bad. I think it's, what happened is bad, and I'm probably going to get in trouble but he called for, the feminization of this society. And that's why I said about who's running the new world order. Who's running this new world order? Because this new world order is out of order, and it has no God compass. Jesus is not directed in anywhere, not even in the church when they come up to say anything. And then we have this young man and these young men, because they're all young, and I'm watching them, and we're mad because we don't have enough black people in power and black people in law enforcement. And so you have five black guys beating this one black man. And this black man calls for his mama? And this is the second or third time we've heard this, of people calling for their... And I need to know, when do people call on Jesus, one, and then when do people call on fight back? But we've got to quit raising our boys to call on their mama when they're in trouble. Because I can't find a man.
Now, I heard another... Hold on, I heard another take on that, though. It's my understanding he still lived at home with his mom.
Okay, let's
try
this.
Right down the street. So if he was calling for help, who would he scream for?
Okay, try this again. Six. If my mama was, if my mama was standing next to me, I'm not going to call my mama to help me if five guys are beating me. You understand the feminization of this?
Who else would you call for to call the police?
You know what? And this is somebody that's been really hard-lined on this, Mr. Jason Whitlock.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason has been on this about the feminization of a black man, especially, but all men.
Society.
But the black. But yeah, and plus they're saying we're living in this matriarchal society when the order of God is supposed to be
a patriarchal.
Patriarchal. That's right. And so that when you start getting the men standing up. And he's having a meeting on the 15th down in Nashville for men, and I think I may.
What's the name of it?
Round up some. It's called Power. I gotta give it.
What's
to
the preacher's name?
I should say it like this, but let me see, because he sent me an email when I responded to him.
Because the feminist.
But he's having it. Beg pardon.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he's having this meeting, and he's calling men to come together to start standing up. For our situation. It's called Fearless Blaze. On the 15th
February?
April.
Okay.
April. Yeah. So you know, I sent communication, and we're supposed to meet down there on that day. And I think it's a good idea. At least it'll be around like-minded men. And it's not just for black men. It's for men, period, of all types. Come down there and start standing up for the way the nation should be. Now we're going to get all kind of blowback, and you know I'm used to blowback. I don't know how bad the blowback will be on this level, but you know, hey.
But I'm looking at this, and I'm serious. This I believe George Floyd called for his mother. I believe this young man called
George
for his mama, and when I say this. We have mothers raising these young men, and our men are very, very fragile, whether we like it or not. And our women are taking over, and they're leading out of us, out of feelings. And you see, even our football games are becoming more feminized. And I'm just saying, if a nation gets out of order of the order of God. How do you stand strong against the world in a new world order? Because the nations that we are fighting against are not feminized nations. If I'm wrong, say something.
No, you're absolutely right. Everybody else is strong, patriarchal, full of testosterone, and we got these fools in our nation talking about toxic masculinity and all this. What are you talking about? Toxic masculinity.
Even in our society, we've killed our warrior class. You know, I read a thing years ago, and a woman wrote, and she said, you know, that my little boys, they're teaching him to play baseball, and meanwhile, the little Palestinian boys are being taught to shoot AK-47s.
Right.
Responsibly. Without killing each other. And building a nation so that people like each other, so we work together and we live together, so that we can be strong together, so that in our own communities, we're not killing each other. Because if you look at how many mass shootings we've had since the beginning of the year, and how much black-on-black crime we've had since the beginning of the year, and then this situation down with these five guys, do we understand this is not a beginning of a year that we need to continue going through?
This is the result of 50 years of abortion,
right?
50 years of dehumanization of each other.
Ooh-wee.
When you bring Darwin in, and you say that you're nothing more than an accident, that you don't have the spark of, your soul doesn't have the spark of God in you, this is what you end up with. As soon as you dehumanize a group, you can do anything to them you want to.
And you know these kids really believe that they are just pieces of tissue, and they really believe that we that human beings were not created by God. And we have allowed them to be indoctrinated into a system that while we were in church, we allowed this to happen.
What was it, Thursday or Friday, they passed the unrestricted abortion law in Minnesota.
I saw that.
It's Friday, I believe.
Friday.
But with that, I look at it as just like the whole abortion issue was, it's a state's rights issue. The state of Minnesota and their residents wanted to do that. They voted for those people, right? So you can disagree with it. You've got a couple options if you live in Minnesota. You can leave, right? You could run for office yourself, or you could support somebody, but it's back in the people's control. And if you don't like that rep, you can talk to them.
Larry, that's the biggest, I love you, and I appreciate what you just said. But if I thought it was true anymore, I'd applaud you. But right now, we all know that Americans are not in control of their government. They don't even know how to turn on their own toilet paper bathwater. And they think that's why I'm talking about who's in control of you. Right now, we're not in control of our own lives. We think we are. But truly, are you really in control of your life? Very, very few people have that freedom anymore in America.
Well, the problem is we are becoming such a divided society. Paul Krugman just wrote an op-ed basically saying that everybody that doesn't live in a cosmopolitan area is a hick, a rube, and a racist, and Hillary Clinton's basket of deplorables. And what's rapidly happening is our urban areas, especially our metropolitan urban areas, our very large cities, are becoming completely divorced from the morals, scruples, and baseline behaviors that the rest of the country has valued forever.
They always have.
I will go back to what Tracy and Jeff said earlier. That's with the breakdown of the, because most of our urban areas are predominantly Black, Hispanic is about equal, but that's the breakdown of the family, right?
Correct.
And if you look at how African-American voters typically went Democrat, African-American males are more receptive because they're the least, they've been least benefited by that monolithic vote. It's the Black females that have garnered most of that.
But these Black females, you see, women think because you give us some power, we're in charge of something. And what happens is we don't understand that a lot of times we're being manipulated by the masses. Because we don't always think logically. We are very emotional. We're moved by how we feel. And we don't understand in what's going on right now. We're being navigated to usurp authority over all men, which will crush them. And you see that we don't have any navigation. Because look at our children. Look at our future right now. This comes with hands that are controlling the cradle without a man in the house. And the Great Reset has to be setting the family back in order and putting a man as a head of a household again. And see, no one wants to say that.
Well, that's what this meeting is about and what this guy has been saying. And he's not as eloquent as I'd like him to be on it. And that's another reason why I want to join up with them, because we could all put together, you know, some types of of things to say that will effectuate a change in our neighborhoods. It's not going to happen overnight. We all know that, and it's just going to be pushback for the long, you know, for a while. However, if there's strength in numbers, and there's also safety in the multitude of counselors, we have to start looking at this from a biblical worldview and control the narrative on it. We can't let people just, no, you know, I'm not trying to stop gays from being able to have a household and do this stuff, et cetera, et cetera. I am trying to stop people from killing babies in the womb because that brings on a judgment on a nation. Now, if you're not spiritual, you don't understand that, and it's fine, but just understand, I can show you where those things are happening and where that you're seeing the most problems. Look at our southern border with the trafficking that's coming across it. We started that. Okay, that's our fault.
But again, Jeff, we keep on, the number here is 515-602-9695. Let's do this again. Sorry about that. 515-602-9695. You can call us and join in the conversation, and we want to hear what you have to say in live. We are live completely. And so we want you to jump in. This becomes a double dutch after a while. So we want to hear if you agree or disagree, and we just ask that you don't say bad words and that you're respectful to people. But we want to hear your opinion, because I think what's happening is people are now closing their opinions up so much now, and we are locked in fear now that we're not expressing ourselves even when we know we should. People are not standing up for themselves as they should, and we're not teaching people how to stand up for themselves. And we see that it's weakening us every day.
A lot of those folks have Kanye money, right? Kanye could do that. You got some people who could, you know, they lose their job wherever they're working. They out, and they out big time. They don't have that fallback money.
And they want you to know that. They don't, and they do not want you to take the risk, because if you take the risk, I'm going to show you what will happen to you, because you can't succeed if you risk. They don't even want you to go into business with risk anymore, because they don't want the competition. And they're limiting information to everyone, and we're going to have to stop that, especially in the household of faith. The Bible says, for the lack of knowledge, the people are destroyed. And we needed to go out and begin to cultivate, again, a people who are going to stand for God, for the righteousness of God, and to do the right thing, and to populate our community with that same mindset again.
Well, no doubt. That's going to be a tall order, and it's going to take a lot of strong men and some strong women that will listen and understand. A black woman can raise a successful black child. There's no doubt about it. Okay, we see that there's some super women out there today, but I'll guarantee you somewhere in that mix, there's a male influence, a teacher, a pastor,
coach.
Somebody.
Yep. There's somebody in that mix that's instilling, you know, some sense of manness in that young man.
And we see it going. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Sorry. No. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say, we see a lot of feminized men, you know, at the barbershop, in church, we see them all over, and you wonder, how in the world did this get to this point? But when the church allows things to go by and they shut up, there's a scripture that says, when good men remain silent, evil men prevail. And that's where we're at, with the evil men prevailing, because our churches are shutting up, or you have the people like the gentleman down in Atlanta and in many of our big cities that are going along with the feminization of American men, and even supporting abortion, which for me, I can't see anybody naming the name of Christ supporting that.
When you, but just, and I'm going to say this, we think that this is a black thing or a, let's be clear here. Nothing is all one. It's not a black, it's coming, because if you see it in black America, it's coming to a house near you. And we should have learned that by now. Six, you and I have talked about this. We act like, well, if it's over here, it won't help us. We know that if it's over here, it will show up over there. And if we don't stop this, this nation as we knew, as we know it, I'm so concerned. And Jeff, I want you to speak to Blinken's comments this morning about a two-state two-state Israel this morning. I got a problem. People need to understand we are dealing in spiritual times and spiritual ways in a spiritual world, and we need God to help guide us. Because right now, everybody's going through something. People are going through something in their personal lives.
Blinken has just set his political demise. And
was it Blinken or was it Biden? Because he was just reporting on Biden, not Blinken, right?
Biden, but same difference.
So
both going down.
So the question is, does Biden represent America?
No, he represents the sellout that he and his son did to the,
no,
to the three nations that they got millions of dollars from.
Jeffrey, question is, he represents America. He works for someone else.
Well, I don't think he represents America myself.
He's the president of the United States.
He's the resident of the United States, in my view. So I'm sorry.
You're a denier?
I'm absolute denier. It doesn't make any sense. That was the most foolish thing that you could come to. There was not that much hatred of a Donald Trump who got a million more votes than he got the first time out and still lost by very little, that they had to shave those points with all the foolishness they had going on. No, I'm a denier.
Okay, so
man got more votes than the second time than he got the first. So sorry.
And it's okay. I mean, everybody's got the right to be deniers or, you know, influencers. I understand. At least you're respectful with it. I'm serious, but my problem is, he still wears the title of the United States president today.
In the office of.
However he sits. When he walks in, they stand up. And my problem is, Blinken is speaking on behalf of him. He speaks on behalf of us. And no one is paying attention to what's being said and how it's going to come back and blow all of us in the butt. The man can take us to war. And he can put us into something that we do not want to be in. And my concern is Blinken, because the Obama administration and the Biden administration are the two first administrations since the institution of the State of Israel that has gone against Israel.
No, not the first. Clinton went against them. And so did Johnson.
Oh, I can't hear him.
Carter.
Can you have him call?
Who's that?
Carter.
Call 515-602-9695. Go ahead, Carter. Carter didn't go up against Israel, did they? Not in the United Nations. We've never voted against Israel in the United Nations until President Obama and the end of his term, if I'm not mistaken.
I can't remember when he did it.
And ever since we've done that, we've gone down since then, and so have they. Or not, so have we. Because President Obama did that.
Yeah.
And we, well, right now, a two-state solution, I don't see, that can't happen.
It one day will happen. But as we know, because the temple is going to be rebuilt. And so it will be somewhere near and or around the Dome of the Rock. Not the Dome of the Rock. What is that on top?
Dome of the Rock.
Dome of the Rock.
Dome of the Rock.
So is that
the Temple Mount?
Right.
So do you guys think that that's going to be real in the next? Because I mean seriously. I mean, we're on. The two states. Do you guys think that can happen? Come on, guys. I mean,
not really. I checked it. There was 5 administrations that have went against Israel's interests. Eisenhower was the first. Nixon, Carter, Bush, H.W. Bush, and then Obama.
Okay.
Oh, really?
I'm surprised about
yes.
Nixon.
Because Nixon, don't forget, Nixon gave Golda Meir the weapons to fight them in the 7-day war.
Wow.
All 5 of those administrations thought by appeasing the Arabs that they could get something.
Oh.
And it didn't work out that way because those Arabs that are pushing that's just the first part. They have most of those people that are talking and pushing this two-state solution that are in that area are also the ones that talk about wiping Israel off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Donald Trump had us well on the way to a peace in the Middle East with the Abraham Accords.
Yes.
He had Israel, Saudi Arabia,
Qatar,
and was it Bahrain?
Bahrain or Jordan, one of them.
Hey guys, we got a caller in.
Same page.
Hey caller, you're on 216. Give us a hello. Can you hear us?
Hello, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. Okay, Tracy, thank you for taking my call. I'm AC from Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm listening to your conversation here, and you've got a number of interesting topics, but you're talking about the New World Order?
Yes, sir.
And
what
New World Order? Well, the New World Order is here. It's run by the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is behind the scenes, okay? And you're talking about the temple being rebuilt? It will be rebuilt. And there's a lot of end-time prophecy in Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, Jesus prophesied the temple in his time would be destroyed. It was. Not one stone left upon another. But he also, in that chapter, prophesied that the temple would be rebuilt. And this is what your other person there is talking about. And it will be rebuilt. The Jews are already stockpiling materials. And you're talking about how the church is failing in many ways. And you're right, because most Christians today are clueless about the end times, about what's going to be happening. And they're not in tune because the pastors, so many of them, not all of them, but so many of them have failed God. They're not teaching what Jesus taught on the end times.
And so I have a question tied
in. What's that?
And I agree with you. I believe most of my panel agrees with you also. My question to you is, because the church is filled, the body of Christ in this day, because you're being manipulated. Our young people, I mean, the lies that are being told, I mean, it's kind of hard for us to tell people the truth. And, you know, God can only call and broach people. But our kids are so tainted right now. They're so abused right now with misinformation and things. That how do we convince a nation now, a world, a people, that Jesus is not the Jesus that they saw on Christmas Day, but he's the Jesus that lives inside of us? And that walking in the Word of God is the only thing that will save you and make you free. Because my question today is, everyone is a slave except those who are free. And if you're not in Jesus, you are a slave.
Right, exactly.
That.
Well, we have the answer, okay? Jesus told his disciples shortly before he ascended to wait in Jerusalem until you get the power from on high. Now, the trouble with what you're calling the body of Christ is, too many Christians never got the power from on high. And therein lies the problem, because if Christians, all Christians had the power from on high, people would be informed. The young people would be informed. Mm. The young people would be raised properly in their homes, like you talked about earlier. And so we've got to have the power from on high.
So how do we get back to, because I'm with you, and guys, jump in. I believe that you must be you must have the Holy Ghost if you believe, because you can't have Jesus without God. It's a three package deal. You either get them all, or you can't pick and choose. That's not how it works. God is all
right.
One, and then when you get Jesus, you get three. You can't pass it out. And how do we get to where we begin to start teaching the common sense practices of Christ Jesus so that people in America can live? Because even in America, they may not have been right, but they had a sense of God. But today,
right.
People, right now in America, they turn their back on the God. They turn their back on the people. And we're here still.
Right.
So how do we live in this world? And I only have about 5 minutes, but how do we live in this world now so that we get to the finish line and God says, I'm happy?
We have to go back to the foundational teachings of Jesus. He said in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. If we look back in the days of Noah, we find out that the thoughts of people's hearts were evil continually. And you just gave an example of that with this, you know, what went on with these police. And, you know, and I'm not faulting the police overall, but we're seeing more and more examples of people's thoughts of their hearts being evil continually. And we have to keep in mind this world is getting worse, not getting better.
What'd you say, Jeff?
I said it's...
I'm going to push you a little bit more on that scripture because it matters.
Okay.
And it says when Jesus took that over and he said, and they shall be marrying and giving in marriage in that day. The same, that was what was going on in the days of Noah. And this where
right.
It gets, where we say supernatural, because there... We're looking at people that in UFOs and things like that, and the government is acknowledging that these things are there, and there are rumors of that there are people or beings from other planets, but they're not from other planets. But they're here, and they're working with our government to create a hybrid race. Well, that's what was going on in the days of Noah. Because that's why Noah found favor with God, because his generations were, he was pure in all his generations, which means he did not have any hybrid blood in him.
He didn't commingle.
And God killed all of the pre-flood, pre-flood hybrids, and then he had to use the children of Israel to wipe out the ones that came down after the flood.
Now that
so
just went
those
deep.
Those are things that we're not going to want. Those are things that we're not going to want to get into because they're supernatural to us because we haven't been believing that. Oh, you believe in UFOs?
Jeff, I owe you an apology because you know I thought you were crazy a couple of years ago when you started talking about that. Now I still don't do the shadow people, but the UFO thing, and I've gotten a little bit of revelation across the board. Because when you first said, "Now the shadow people," I still think you're a little bit out there. I ain't there yet. But then I thought Sticks was a little bit out there when he started about prepping. But then 2020 came and nobody had toilet paper. I'm like, Sticks ain't nuts either.
And so, you are correct. We do have to get back to that, but we got to get back to all of that.
We got to get back to the Bible.
They're going to happen.
We got to get back to the Bible.
Going to happen.
Get back to loving, putting God first, and loving one another, and not judging people, and understanding that people are walking in their life, and I'm going to love you in spite of this. Don't come in my house and do it. Because we got to start getting to know people. Carla, what's your name?
My name is AC. I'm from Cleveland.
Hi, AC in Cleveland. My name is Tracy. I'm in Northeast Ohio, and it's good to be on 1220 with you and to be talking with you at Talk Connection. We're glad to have you with us. Call anytime.
Okay. Your other associate there was talking about UFOs, okay?
Go ahead.
And the problem is, I'm glad she brought this up, but too many people are assigning what God did in the Bible to UFOs. I just heard a guy on the radio who said, now this guy was an Israeli guy, okay? And he was talking about the parting of the Red Sea. And he's well known, this Israeli guy, okay? He's got a Jewish heritage. And he was on this talk show, and he was talking about the parting of the Red Sea. And you know what he said? He said that it was UFOs that parted the Red Sea, not the miracle power of God. That's a disgrace to say something like that.
Well, some people, our children are now taught in school that the reason why you call them Bible stories is because they're stories and they're not real.
Yeah, but
that's what they're telling the kids.
Those stories are real, and I'll say it like this: the watchers who fell are the ones that had the technologies of that we're seeing in the Old Testament in the Bible. It's not wrong to say that that wasn't the power of God, because that's what technology God let the angels have to use to carry man along into technology. That's what we don't understand. Okay. They were there. They were supposed to slowly take us in age to age and learn different things and learn how to handle different things. It very well could have been the power of God, but through angels. Who knows? The cloud that followed them was a pillar of fire by day and a cloud by day and a fire by night. By day and a fire by night. Okay, we don't know what was in that fire or in that cloud or what God prepared, but we know that it happened. And then that wind is what blew that sea open for them to go through on dry land.
It was Jeff. It wasn't wet. It wasn't muddy. It was dry.
It wasn't muddy or nothing. But When the Egyptians came in, they started getting stuck in the mud. So tell me, how did that happen? So let me explain real quick. I know people don't believe it because it's supernatural, but we are called to be supernaturally natural.
And we need to walk in the supernatural. Those of us who are believers in Christ Jesus should be walking in the supernatural. We should be walking in the Spirit. That's what the Bible says.
You're bringing up another good point.
There's a lot to that. There's a lot to it. And I'm full on that teaching. So,
what'd you say?
The church has forgotten the miracle power of God. Most of the
churches
don't even believe in miracles.
And listen, I got something to tell you. They may have forgotten, but what God is getting ready to do, I promise you, you're going to know that there's a God that sits high and looks low, because he is God, and he said he's not going to let this continue much longer. And we need to put our seatbelts on. And I think those of us, as we go to close the program, if you want to stay on and talk with us for a few minutes, you're more than welcome to, AC, but I've got to close on.
Okay, yeah, I would.
12:20, but hold on.
Yeah.
I want you guys to know, as we go to close out on 12:20, we love you, we appreciate you. Please lock it on to 1 o'clock on Tuesdays to listen to us talk to you about what's on our hearts, about what's going on in the world. And you never know what you're going to get when you get here, but you do know that you're going to get some people that really care about you and love God. With that said, God is getting ready to do great things, because most of us in our lives right now are going through some real crazy stuff, whether we will tell it or whether we will not. And our lives are disjointed, I'm quite sure. But God knows the intent of our heart, and God knows what he has for us. Because he that hath begun a good work in us is going to perform it into the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he wants you to rest and trust in him. Because he's going to show you who he is, so that when things happen, you know who you serve. We'll see you guys next week. Hold on, guys. Thanks, Josh.
I'm still here.
Hold on, A. there's a lot going on here. You have no idea. It's like a, I'm still trying to figure it out. I got more mouses here than a kitty cat. Tom and Jerry would be happy with me if they could see how many mice I'm trying to navigate right here while I'm talking to you guys. So go ahead, AC. What are you saying?
You look like you're trying to run the Starship Enterprise over there.
I am.
Yeah.
What were you saying, man?
Well, what I was talking about, because you got into the subject of miracles, God is a miracle-working God. Most of the churches today reject miracles for today. They say it was only for the early church. And that's not true.
Yeah, doctrine like that.
Okay?
Let me help you, my friend.
They go to one passage of Scripture, and they say, well, God did away with miracles according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That when the first Bible rolled off the printing press, or when they compiled the 66 books, or they got a bunch of different reasons, and they say the miracles were only for the Jews in the early church, not for Gentiles today. Well, that's a lie. The miracle power of God is still working, but God's not going to work miracles in churches that where there's doubt and unbelief. No way.
But he's got you.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something. I've made two missionary journeys to Africa. Two. And I'll tell you, I could get more done over there in 2 weeks than I can get done here probably in 2 years, although things are improving. Okay? The people in Africa, they're open to the miracle power of God. They're not fighting it like they're doing in general over here.
Can I ask you guys a question? And we're off the air. We're on social media, so if anyone wants to call in, they still can. We're 515-602-9695. Larry is sitting there. We're all now still just on social media. We're not on the radio, since you know that. But see, no bad words. Do you think that America, because America right now, if you look at what America did and what America has evangelized across the world.
Okay.
We evangelize Santa Claus instead of Jesus, Easter Bunny instead of the cross, abortion instead of life, and homosexuality instead of family. We've tied it to our form. Hold on. Because the United States of America, I still stand under that banner. So
okay.
America has been promoting for decades, and now and the closer we've gotten to 2023, where we are right now, you saw them tie it to our foreign aid. At one time, we used to give stuff away because we cared about people. Then we gave it away and said, if you don't do what we say, and if you don't change your policy to human rights, and if you don't do this, then we won't let you have this. That's where God and them told you, we believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You need to bounce out. And he said it outright. We are a Christian nation. Until our country changes that, we're going to stay that way. America used to say that, but we stopped. Now what?
Well, we stopped.
Who?
Because just like that gentleman, we just had our last missionary trip to Samburu, Kenya, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and he's right. People over there, because they're so in tune to the dark arts, they don't have any problem believing in the light arts, because they see that the strength of the light art is better. But understand something: COVID just did one thing that we needed. It separated what the Bible was telling about the wheat and the tares.
Wow.
The wheat are the churches that followed God through that pandemic. The tares are those that were scared to death and did not follow God through anything. They just stayed at home and hoped that their money didn't run out because they were meeting on social media. Understand, that separation was good because now the remnant are here. And the remnant are going to continue to follow God because they know what's real. So don't be dismayed, my friend.
Hey, Sticks.
You'll see the believers.
Hold on, AC, hold on. Hold on, Sticks. You got any comment on this? Me?
No, Lloyd.
No, not really.
You're just listening. Okay, go ahead, AC.
Okay, going along with what that last, I don't know what her name
gentleman,
is. But,
yes.
Okay, going along with what she said.
Him.
God allowed this COVID corona thing. It's a foreshadowing of the tribulation period. And he allowed it to happen because he's trying to show us how close we are to the tribulation period. And yes, there was a separation as she's talking about. And I'll give you an example of how it was a foreshadowing.
No. Jeff is a he. Tracy's a she. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So think about this now. In most of the states, you couldn't buy or sell in person unless you wore a mask. Right? Am I right? You couldn't go into the store and buy or sell in person unless you wore a mask. Well, what do we read in the book of Revelation in Revelation chapter 13? Because it's all, both small and great, that a person in the tribulation period couldn't buy or sell without a mark. You see the parallel there?
Yeah, we're getting there.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, we're there.
The
don't get me wrong.
Well, this is your probably first time hearing us, but we've been on this for quite a bit of time. You're correct, and we agree with you.
Yes, very much so. But listen, we're done with our show, and we are calling next week.
I do have a question.
Go ahead, Sticks. Don't go anywhere, AC.
AC, do you believe that this current infatuation with the environment is part of that? Is part of where it says, in the end times, they will worship the created and not the creator?
Yes.
The one.
Yes. And also, in addition to that, because people didn't love the truth, according to 2 Thessalonians, God gave them over to a delusion. And this is why you've got people today. Yeah, because they got people believing the polar ice caps are going to melt and flood all the coastal cities.
Because man
thinks he's God. They're teaching this to the kids in schools.
We have told our children that they are their own God. We have told our children that they are gods outside. There is no God outside of themselves. That they have no need to look for anyone higher than them.
We
have taught them, and even when I say in the schools, in the neighborhoods, in the playgrounds, because if you didn't indoctrinate your children, before you set them out into the world, the world's going to indoctrinate them for you.
Right.
And what has happened is we have allowed our children to be taught by outsiders, and then we wonder why we've got little beasts when they come home.
Right.
And those
exactly.
children now have become, those children have now become adults, and they're raising their own children separated from God. Separated from the world of God, and we and the people who believe in Jesus Christ, a lot of them have been so cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs that I wouldn't follow them to the bathroom if I was constipated.
and Sticks, I want to say this, because we've talked about this before. Even if we get a civil war, even a limited one, it's not going to straighten up everything until we get a biblical worldview, because that's the only thing that stabilizes this mess out. Anything. It's the only thing that's going to straighten things out is if we have that as a basis. I'm not talking about everybody wearing black suits and ties or not driving drive big cars. But, you know, I'm talking about basic decency and basic holiness in God.
Well, Jeff, the founders told us that when they signed the Constitution.
Right.
John Adams said that our Constitution is unworthy for anyone but a moral and religious people. George Washington said that without God and the Bible, we'd be ungovernable. It's nothing new in our society. There are only two societies, two civilizations, nations that have ever been created and sanctified unto God. One is Israel, and the other is the United States of America. Because when they signed the Constitution, they went and prayed and gave this country to God.
And both of them are backsliders. And we need to repent because America is on sliding ice. This morning I almost cracked my side walking that dog on that black ice. And
I landed on my butt this morning.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. I went to Bible study with my buddy's house, got out of the truck, and went straight down, man.
Do they have a ring camera?
I said, what's that?
Do they have a ring camera? Because I like to catch the people on ring.
He asked me if I was hurt. I said, that depends. Did you pay your insurance bill or not?
Good answer. Hey, guys, we'll be back next week at 1 o'clock. AC, thank you for calling and checking in with us. You're more than welcome to join us next week. We'll be here.
Okay.
Larry,
one quick question.
Yes, sir.
Do you folks believe...
He can take us the prize.
Yes, he does. What'd you say, AC?
Do you folks believe in a rapture?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
A pre-tribulation rapture.
Yes.
Okay.
I believe in God.
Well,
let me see this. We need to answer that individually. I believe in God. And so, because everybody's got their, and I believe in God, and I believe in a pre-rapture, but I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Ghost. So, what I think and what God does is two different things. So, if I'm prepared for whatever He does, so it doesn't matter to me. Did you understand
that?
Okay. Kind of
does to me. That's what I'm saying. That's why we need to answer that individually, because he asked me, when I say I believe in a rapture, absolutely. But if it doesn't rapture out and I die first, I'm still not concerned because I plan on going home. So either way, I win.
Well,
right.
Yeah, but here it is.
But
before the judgments start pouring. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Before the judgment starts pouring,
there's the
people of God leave here.
Okay, so this other person believes in the rapture too, then.
His name is Jeff, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Because, see, people don't realize there's only one flight out of here before the tribulation period begins. And it's going to be hell on. You think it's, people think it's bad now? Wait till after the rapture. It's going to be
horrible. That's the point.
And
I believe
people
in the rapture.
Those that are left behind after the rapture takes place, and there's plenty of teaching about this in the Gospels, not just Paul, but in the Gospels, Jesus taught about the pre-tribulation rapture. And so many of the pastors don't even believe that Jesus taught on the pre-tribulation rapture. They'll say, oh, yeah, we believe in it, but they don't believe Jesus taught.
Can I say
people
that
running...
before we go, because I want you to understand, because I don't want to belabor this, I'm with you. But, you know, bad people teach bad people bad stuff. And it's not, you know, and good people, when I say that, because they don't know any better. And until you get a revelation from God, and you get because it's hard, again, preachers, pastors, there's a lot of things that people do out of ignorance. And their heart is well-intended. And they don't know that they don't know that they don't know. And they can't preach it because – they believe it, but they can't preach it because they can't comprehend it because they can't read. But they love God and they love God's people. And so that's where we are when today with people. We've got to love them and draw them to God so the Holy Ghost can give them revelation of God's word. So he can guide them where they're going to go. And that just comes from us just loving on them and being there for them and not necessarily judging them, but just having compassion on the ignorant and them that are out of the way and thanking God for his grace and his mercy because but by God's grace there go we. But the world is so screwed up, even the people who are doing wrong, they don't even know that they're wrong now because no one knows to tell them that they were wrong. And it's sad but true. And until you,
each man did right in his own eyes.
And until you, the revelation comes and you find out that, you know, doing what you're doing is wrong, you keep on doing it that way. And we see that happen in simple things, spiritual things, and supernatural things. And we just got to pray and start showing people how to live better in Christ Jesus. Those
and it's supposed to
him.
Come through the church.
But we are the
right?
church. We are the church. We can't go by the organization. That is a man entity because Jesus was not religious. We are the body of Christ. I am the body of Christ. I am the church of Christ, just like you, individually.
Yeah. The remnant are maybe very scattered. They probably aren't all gathered into one church building or anything like that, unless it's one of the buildings that, like I said, of course, followed you know, God through and trusted him to keep them. You know, my church never closed through the pandemic. And, you know, we never ever closed.
But Jeff,
just followed through.
I'm still trying to get people to take the mask off. Why are you playing? And they sitting in the car by themselves.
Me too.
So I just want you to understand. And you in the church. What is it?
Mask
is covered up.
The mask.
Telltale sign. Listen, guys, I got
to
go. AC,
to...
thank you.
Okay.
Okay, well.
God bless. Call back next week. We'll be back. We'll be here. Promise you.
Okay.
God bless.
God bless.
Hey, guys, thank you.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thanks, Larry. I'll send you guys I'll do better next week. I'm glad my phone calls, my phone lines are working. Things are working. How you like it? How you like it's working?
Yeah, I like it.
This
I
is
like
good.
That. I heard somebody.
You could hear. You could come.
Where's your?
We were talking earlier, Tracy. Texas, pray for us down here. It's bad.
Oh yeah, you get that bad ice storm.
They got Ohio weather down.
Jeff,
there.
It started. It started as the ice, and then it snowed, and then it iced again, and it snowed, and it's now hail and the sheet. I mean, I've never seen it, and they have a thing that's called a thunder snow.
Snow.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
Welcome to Texas.
Never seen it. Yeah, it was snowing, and then I heard the thunder, and then I looked out and saw the lightning. I like, this is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, your weather's going to change pretty soon, and you ain't going to have none of this other stuff. I got caught in an ice storm just like that years ago coming up from San Antonio, and I saw people driving straight off the side of the road.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, man. Because they don't...
Love you guys.
Love
Tracy,
you too.
Did you ever get a call from... Did you ever get a call from Vicky?
No, I don't think so. She didn't call me.
I'll follow back up.
Don't
her.
Listen, don't worry. Listen, I am so close. I sent my proposal over to the guy across the street outside of somebody endowing me with a couple dollars so I can make sure my bills get paid. I think we're going to be okay. Like I said, the equipment is working right here, so I'm going to go out and start selling sponsorships.
I know.
Because now, remember, we can do multiple hours all day long. We can actually put together a complete network. I just had to see how this works, and now that it works, and we can do as many hours as I want as often as I need. And you know, Larry, Shirley passed away. Remember the girl who I had on with
Shirley.
Us? Shirley. Shirley Hewer, the girl who was on with us a couple months ago, out of Texas.
Oh, yeah.
She passed away.
Out of Texas.
Yes. She passed away.
She wasn't that old.
No, she wasn't. She was younger. She was our age. She had cancer. Jeff, you know who it is. She was with us in D.C. With the war paint on.
Yeah, that's my girl.
Yeah, she passed away.
She liked me some me.
Yeah, she did like some Larry. She was going to come get her a piece of Larry.
Yeah. She did.